Of the Dapped on Draft podcast. We, in a couple of hours of this recording, will have the first college football playoff game going on. As you guys are listening to this, we will have three more going on today. Listen, I'm really excited about this slate of games. We've kind of already talked about how good this slate of games could have been if the college football playoff would have seeded these teams correctly in the first round. It would have made the first round better as well. They will change that. But today we have a Dapped or Draft episode, and we have three takes that we are going to dig into the weeds on here, get out to y'all, get y'all's New Year's Day off right. But first, I can't do it alone. I have my podcast partner here, Corey Kinnon, with me. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm ready for the day off tomorrow to load up on some college football. So I'm ready. I didn't have today off, which for New Year's Eve, which kind of stunk. But and you know, as a father of two young kids, I'm not doing anything extravagant tonight either. So I'm excited about that.
You never
that.
Have a day off, no matter. No, what.
I'm actually kind of excited about that. I'll be in bed by probably 10:30. Maybe I'll stay up and watch the end of the game. But
yeah, well, we'll see how close the game is. Well, but I plan on watching most of it in bed, by myself. Because I took my wife back to Portugal. I didn't take her back. She flew back. But anyways, let's get into it. Daft or draft. Corey, what's the first take we're tackling?
Yeah, let's start with the college football playoffs.
Let's do it.
So again, the second closest line, honestly, Georgia-Notre Dame was the closest line. Second closest line, though, is number one Oregon versus number six Ohio State. And early in the season, Ohio State lost by 1 point on kind of a Will Howard bonehead, like a Will Howard bonehead play sliding down inbounds with no timeouts and no time left on the clock. Plus a Jeremiah Smith push off that I don't know if that would get called in any other game, any other time as well. But so the Dapped on Draft for this one is after Ohio State blew out Tennessee as well, the winner of the Rose Bowl will win the national championship.
Dang. So the wording of this makes it difficult. Because there are still, at the time of this recording, there are six teams outside of those two. So just from an odds perspective, the odds are not in their favor. Do I believe that the two best teams are playing in this game tonight? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, I will say yes. First of all, nobody's beaten Oregon all year. Boise State played a three-point game against them. I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. Penn State played a really good game and still really couldn't keep up with Oregon. Mm-hmm. Ohio State was the closest game. Ohio State, outside of the Michigan game, and weird things happen in rivalries, and you can't trust college kids no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think whoever wins this game is going to win the national championship. When I look at the other side of the bracket, when I'm looking at Georgia and I'm looking at, I'm sorry, it's not Georgia on that side. It is, it's Texas and Arizona State on that side, right? With Oregon and Ohio State.
It is Texas. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you're just assuming Arizona State's going to lose. I'm kidding. I think both of those teams are better than Texas. And I say that because I just don't know if the Texas offense with Quinn Ewers is going to be able to keep up against defenses that are that good. Because Oregon's defense is good. Ohio State's defense, as much as we like to clown on Denzel Burke for the game against Oregon, is really good.
He's got a redemption arc tomorrow night. So
he does have a redemption arc tomorrow night. I think whoever wins that Oregon-Ohio State game wins the national championship.
I'm going to draft this as well. Again, I think Texas would be the other team that would do it. but I don't trust Quinn Ewers. I trust Texas's horses, their offensive line, their defensive line, their skill players. I trust everything except for the most important position on the football field with that football team. And again, I think Steve Sarkisian can scheme up a lot, but we've even seen with Sark's offense, the limitations that Ewers presents in that offense. And it's pretty steep. It's pretty steep. So I'm going to draft it as well. And mainly because on the other side, I don't think Notre Dame or Oregon or Notre Dame or Georgia can score points.
Yeah.
I don't think they can score points. And then Penn State is still kind of the wild card for me, but again, James Franklin.
That's the big reason for me. And quarterback questions there too.
That's true. Drew Allert has not played well 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. You can flip the Big Ten championship game however you want. The tape tells a different story. He did not play well in that football game. So I'm drafting it as well. Dafter draft number two. So in the current draft order, we have the New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans, Cleveland Browns picking top three. Two teams that need a quarterback, the Titans and the Browns. Outside of that. However, let's go through the avenues here. Is it going to be like 2022 where nobody wanted to trade up for a quarterback in that class? And only one went in the first round and the like 22nd, I think Kenny Pickett went, something like that, to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Or is this going to be 2015? I was thinking about this the other day as well. This quarterback class might be a little bit more like 2015 than any other class with Goff, Wentz, even the play style of those two guys comparatively to Shador.
You mean 2015 with Jameis and Mariota?
2016 with Goff, Wentz. It parallels that. And people traded up for Goff and Wentz. The Rams traded up and the Eagles traded up in that class. So it's definitely possible that teams could get desperate and trade up like they did that year. But if after draft year, if New England stays at one, can't find a trade partner, Abdul Carter goes first overall.
Yes. I don't see any other option here. I love Travis Hunter so much. But when it comes to like scheme culture fits, I don't know if I've seen a better New England Patriot outside linebacker pass rusher than Abdul Carter. I think he fits perfectly into the mold of what they always look for in their outside linebackers. And he does it at an absolutely supercharged level. So I find it hard to believe, even though they could always use corners, but New England has always, and it's obviously different now because their head coach is no longer their old head coach, the best of all time, and Bill Belichick, somebody who found talent at corner very, very easily in later rounds and in UDFA players and got the best out of them. I think they will continue to go that route with that. And they have Gonzalez on the outside. And they're going to go with Carter at number one. And I know that they need wide receiver as well. So the wide receiver and corner need, because you can never have enough guys who can cover. You can never have enough guys that can catch passes. But there's a reason why edge rushers get paid about $10 million more than corners.
Yeah. I am going to draft it as well. I'm going to draft it as well. The parallel to Matthew Judon. Yeah, Matthew Judon's 20 pounds heavier. Like, I get that. But that stand-up Sam role that you were talking about, it's too seamless for Abdul Carter. It's too seamless. And again, medicals, interviews, backgrounds, things like that aren't being taken into consideration in this scenario as either. Like, things could pop up, sure, but like, Matthew Judon's first 2 years in New England, he had 12 and a half sacks and 15 and a half sacks. He was hurt last year and only had 4 sacks in 4 games, which is still really good production. 4 sacks in 4 games. So like, they clearly, Gerard Mayo clearly relies on that player, that role. Right now it's Anthony Jennings. And Anthony Jennings is a fine player. But
I was a huge Anthony Jennings fan. I'm so glad he found a role.
Yes. But like, we're talking about Abdul Carter in a premium position on a team that just needs to add some talent. They have their quarterback. Sure, get wide receivers. I really like the depth in this class at wide receiver. I don't like it on the top end, really. I mean, I do like Luther Burden and Tet's fine. But like, I like the Matthew Goldens in this class. I like those the the middle round kind of guys as well in this class. So like, although they struck out on two doing that, trying to do that last year. So maybe don't do that. But, go sign T. Higgins. Just go sign T. Higgins there. But yeah, I the juice, the athleticism, the tape, the violence that he plays with, I think it'll translate really, really well to New England. It's too seamless of a fit here. And I'm going to draft that as well, that Abdul Carter would be the first overall pick if New England can't find a trade.
How did you feel about Polk coming out of Washington compared to, yeah. I mean, just compared to McMillan?
Yeah, so last year was the least amount of work that I put in the draft class in a long time just because my daughter was born in November.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the bandwidth to really dive in. But I did watch a good deal of wide receivers. And Polk, I thought he would be much better than he's been. He never had the high-end athleticism. Mm-hmm. But he did all of the little things. He was the consistent receiver at Washington that did the little things well, stacked well, and was able to still separate with his hands a little bit. So I'm shocked at the lack of anything they've gotten out of him as a rookie.
And that's been an issue in New England forever with wide receivers. Yeah. They have really struggled to find that position. So, Abdul Carter, and keep throwing darts. And there's so many guys like you were talking about. Even when you look at like the top of the second round, and Trey Harris might go a little bit later because of the athleticism there. But like maybe Mika Ibuka falls because he doesn't test all that well. Like there are guys that are going to be there at wide receiver. You talked about Golden already.
Isaiah Bond is very much a player that the Patriots would not be afraid of.
Yes. Yep.
The Patriots are not afraid of character issues. They just have never. And again, things can be different. The Belichick's not in the building anymore, right? Like it's a lot different when Belichick is in the building. They were not afraid of guys who had perceived character issues, who had documented character issues. Mm-hmm. We've heard some things on Isaiah Bond. Whatever. But like, that's a player that traditionally the Patriots wouldn't be afraid of. Are they now with Elliot Wolf kind of leading the charge and with Belichick out of the building? Who knows? But yeah, like,
They're gonna go out and draft Kyren Lacy in the second round, right?
That 25-year-old, like Alec Ayemanor, that would be a great receiver to throw in there with
Ty Felton
in like the third round. Yeah, there mm-hmm. are some fun names in the middle rounds. Jalen Higgins, Iowa State, Savion Williams, TCU. Like there are some fun playmakers in this draft class in the middle rounds. Yeah. So, yeah, I would take Abdul Carter number one.
Yeah.
All right, the final draft here on the Daft on Draft podcast. We got to take a moment to talk a little bit about the ReliaQuest Bowl that happened earlier today. We're recording again on Tuesday night here. And boy, Jalen Milroe, time might be up to talk about just the tools of Jalen Milroe, because he is like 2 years away from being 2 years away as a quarterback at this current juncture.
He looks completely broken.
He does. And I've talked on this podcast. I've been told from people in the league that teams have NFL grades on Jalen Milroe as a running back. Jalen Milroe is 6'1" and 220 pounds and runs a 4.3 40. He is built like a running back. So Dafter draft here, and again, the kid just went 16 of 23 for 116 yards, and I mean the first quarter was about as brutal as it could have been for mm-hmm. him in that game as well. Dafter draft here, if Jalen Milroe declares as a running back, he would be one of the first five off the board in the 2025 NFL draft.
Daft. I'm going to say Daft.
Okay.
And I'm going to draft it because this class is so good. This class is so good. And you can talk to 10 different guys who are draft Knicks and get 10 different orders, 10 mm-hmm. different top fives, 10 different top threes. Like, that's the way that this goes. There are so many names that guys like. I mean, I'm not even a Quinshon Judkins guy. But Judkins is still getting top five talk. Ollie Gordon is still getting top 10 talk. People like Jaquavius Marks because he's caught 500 passes in college. And Kiner makes big plays. And Raheem Sanders is fun. And Phil Maffa is huge. Devin Neal is an underrated guy who can make big plays. And then you have the top guys in Ashton Jeanty and Caleb Johnson and Nick Singleton and Omarion Hampton and, for me, Travion Henderson. And, like, for me, all of those guys are first or second round grades. And I love Jalen Milroe as a runner, but I don't think he gets there as a running back on my board, even with the athleticism, because I've consistently seen 4-3 guys who aren't very good at playing football. And I understand what he does as a quarterback running the football, and even as a runner on designed runs, is very good. But you have that added element of his legs and the legs of his backfield mates as well, that add a gap that you have to defend in the run game, where if he goes and plays with the corpse of Kirk Cousins, he's not going to get that. He's not going to get that with the corpse of Aaron Rodgers next year, or even a Sam Darnold, or name a quarterback that isn't a dual threat. Like, I just don't know. I think the vision is there, but he's not a running back now, so it's really hard for me to feel that confident looking at him in this class.
Yeah. I mean, there are two key elements that we just don't know, and we won't know until he does it, and that's how well does he catch the football out of the backfield, and how well can he pass protect?
Pass protect.
Like, he hasn't done those two things ever.
And that's a good thing to talk about right now, because if you look at Tyler Warren, who was a quarterback in high school, how many years did it take him to become an adequate blocker in college?
Even the first half of the season, he wasn't a great blocker.
Exactly.
He's really turned it on. Yeah. He's really turned it on as a blocker, though, at the end of the year, which has been really awesome to see.
But those unknowns, and especially in a class where there isn't a single guy in the top five, Caleb Johnson maybe a little bit, that I don't look at and I say, they're a good pass protector, like legitimately impressive pass protector. Caleb Johnson is the only guy like that. Caleb Johnson is the only guy in the top five who I can't look at and say, yeah, he could catch 50 passes for 600 yards in a season. The only guy. And the only reason why he's my running back too is because he's so damn good at running the ball. So it's
these guys will throw their body around.
Milroe's great, but, and he's dumb athletic. But no, not
yeah, this. Dude. I think I'm gonna draft it though.
I knew you were going to.
I think I'm going to, because it's not like what we would do. It's like, would he? The dude's the best athlete on Alabama's football team for 2 years running.
He's the best athlete out of any of these running backs.
He would be the best athlete out of any of these running backs. If he goes to the combine and he does the running back drills and he shows the foot quickness of Caleb Johnson and he catches the ball well, like, is that enough for an NFL team to say, like, okay, I can see he's catching the ball with soft hands away from his frame. He knows what he's doing. Would that be enough? I don't know. You're still not getting pass pro at the combine. And that's a huge question mark. But, like, again, the dude is 6'1" and 220 pounds. Omarion Hampton is 6'2", 220 pounds. Caleb Johnson is 6'2",
225. He's a 4 junior, right?
Milroe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him,
he could go
get
back him, and change get positions.
Get him a late invite to the Senior Bowl or a Shrine.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
And have him.
So there would be opportunities for him to show that he could catch the football, or he could pass pro. Again, would he do it is another question. But that's not the scenario we're building up here. It's if he would do it. And I'm gonna draft it, man. Like, you can't, he would go to the combine, he's gonna run a 4.3 40 at the combine. Like, the dude is stacked. Like, you can look at him and say, like, that is a running back body. All it takes is one team. And honestly, like, when I look at the running back class,
you could still use him as Taysom Hill.
You could. Exactly. Exactly. And when I look at this running back class, I see it a little bit through a different lens than you do. I see a clear tier two, because obviously Ashton James
is tier one. Is one.
And in that tier two for me, like, I don't think it extends further than Caleb Johnson and Omarion Hampton. I like Travion Henderson and I like Dylan Sampson. And I like Nick Singleton. Maybe Nick Singleton sticks into tier two as well. But I think those are tier three players. So, like, if a team threw Milroe in that tier three as well, like, all it takes is one team. And he has shown good patience. He's got excellent burst, excellent explosive angle-breaking long speed.
Yes.
like might be no, I'm not gonna go that far. I'm not gonna say that. But angle breaking long speed in the open field, like again, needs to probably show some contact balance. That would be something you'd have to show at the Senior Bowl or something like that too. But like, boy, I think somebody would do it. I think somebody would do it. So I'm gonna draft it.
I looked at it more of in my lens. I could definitely see a team. I could definitely see a team doing it. And think about him. And it wouldn't happen if he stays with Detroit because they have both of their backs already. But imagine Ben Johnson and the psychotic playbook that he has. And then you add a quarterback in at running back in Jalen Milroe and think about all of the possibilities that Ben Johnson could come up with somebody like that.
It would be outrageous.
It would be incredible.
But
I hope that he figures everything out as a passer because those types of athletes at the quarterback position are so much fun. So much fun.
They are.
But he, and I kind of comped it a little bit to what we saw with Beck this year. And Beck's was a little bit different because he was just trying to do too much. I don't think that that's what was necessarily happening. He was trying to do too much and then he lost his confidence. Mm-hmm. I think Milroe made a couple of mistakes and then just let that mount and let that fester in his head. And it completely derailed his confidence. So he couldn't make decisions anymore. And I think that that is what initially hurt his accuracy. And I mean, he's just been, we've talked about it, undraftable at quarterback since
it's been bad
since the Vandy game.
Yeah.
And the Vandy game, he played well. They lost, but he played well. Since then, he's been terrible.
Yeah. I would agree with that. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't declared. Another question is with Bama taking back, or is Bama going to tell him to portal out if he.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bama might be looking to move on. Like,
it might.
So, that's a big question, too. Boy. Maybe, like, speaking of contact balance a little bit here, and we'll wrap it up, but, like, I think some of his ability to break sacks and things like that might translate to contact balance. He's a tough dude to bring down.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's
got lower half explosiveness out there.
Yeah, it's a bit like Cam Ward, where it's like he's still 6'1", 225. Like, he's a big dude. So, yeah, and as a quarterback, you're more trying to avoid hits than deliver them. As a running back, he might change that a little bit. It might help him out in the contact balance department. Yeah. But what I will say is that, like, first and second level explosiveness through the hole, I don't think anybody else has that like he does in this class. Maybe Omarion Hampton, because Hampton, when he accelerates, goes. But Milroe.
Something we haven't mentioned as well is Milroe is so smooth and fluid, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets in and out of his – when he's got the ball in the open field, like, he is slippery. Like, he is tough to bring down. So, I do think somebody would do it. And again, maybe this is enough for Miller to say, like, yeah, I'll consider it.
Yeah. But
like, Joe Milton said, I'm not playing tight end. Like, obviously, Lamar made the correct decision. It was foolish for that's former GM Hall of Famer to say what he said about Lamar. But, like, this is a rare case. Like, maybe a Logan Thomas case is the better situation. Logan Thomas made a tight end transition to really, really well.
Yeah,
really well, and had a decent 4-year stretch before injury started to mount up on him. So, like, it's definitely possible, and I think it's more of a pride thing for some of these guys more than anything. But like, I think Milroe's just got to know how explosive he is and how much of a playmaker he is with the football in his hands, and like run with it, man. Just run with it. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting because it hasn't been great throwing the football.
No,
but that's all I've got, Dalton.
Yeah,
it's almost time for some college football playoffs action.
It is
almost time for that. Penn State, Boise State on deck. So
I'm gonna throw my son in the tub. I'm gonna get him cleaned up to bed, and then I am watching that Penn State Boise State game.
I love it. Well, that is it for this episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Again, next episode we have 16 through 20 on our big boards to talk about, and then Friday we'll talk about everything that went down on New Year's Day. And tonight in this Penn State Boise State game. So until next time, that is Dalton Miller. Dalton B. Miller on Blue Sky. He's mostly active on Blue Sky now, not very active on the other site. And then I am Fake Corey Cannon on Twitter and Draft on Draft.Football, actually, on Blue Sky. So go ahead, give us some follows, give us some love. Until next time, enjoy some football. Goodbye.